In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good afternoon. Blessed Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. To those of you who haven't been with us for some time, Merry Christmas on the last day that we can kind of still celebrate it as Christmas season, even though it's kind of the borderline there, and it's in a no man's land, and Blessed New Year to you as well. Last week, we celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany, Los Reyes Magos. We had the three kings there in their visitation. We preached about that, and after the Mass, we had that beautiful, beautiful blessing of the Epiphany water. There was a number of you who stayed for it. Thank you for being a part of it. It took 40 minutes, right? Not sure. Powerful blessings. Powerful blessing that was put over that water. And so if you would like it, it's the greatest sacramental that the Church has in that container back there. It's full of Epiphany water. Take as much of it as you want. When we have to refill it, it's just going to be filled with regular holy water. Not as powerful as that other, but if you would like to receive that, it's all there for you. Take as much as you would like, and to use it all throughout the year. We'll do it again next year, and a little bit better than we did this past year as well. The young people would like me to remind you that they're doing a bake sale next Sunday, after Mass, to raise money for their Steubenville trip. They're going to go to Texas, and they're raising money to be able to make that trip a little easier on those who wish to be a part of that great, powerful retreat. So please come and support them next week. And those of you who are involved in it, bake some really nice things. They just had one this weekend in Santa Rosa, too. I guess we're off by a week from each other there in that really good things that were there. In the back of the church, you'll find that we finally do have the calendars over there. Sorry it took a little bit for them to come in, but I think that it'll be worth the wait. They are quite attractive. Quite attractive calendars that are there in the back. And thank you to our Catholic Daughters for helping us out with this and for being willing to sponsor them in this way for us to be able to do so. You did a great job. Did a great job here. Beautiful, beautiful images of little ones who are here to greet us every single month and remind us that a church is full of beautiful young people just like this, and to pray for them. Pray for those who are in difficulties and difficult pregnancies. And the like. If you wish to in some way be a part of the March for Life that's going on in Albuquerque this upcoming Tuesday from 1 o'clock till I think 4 o'clock in Albuquerque, if you go to the Project Defending Life website, you'll find out more information on how to be a part of that. Abby Johnson is going to be there along with other really great pro-life speakers in Albuquerque this upcoming Tuesday from 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock. If you'd like to be a part of that, just happen to be free and able to make the trip. I just found out about it on Thursday. So it's a beautiful grace to be able to have in our diocese to launch the pro-life cause anew in this new year. And finally, at the Chavez family, Margarita and Miguel wanted me to invite you, if anybody wishes to come, you don't have to come, but if you would like to come and pray the rosary with us at their house after Mass today from 3 o'clock and always have a beautiful meal afterwards to offer this time to Our Lady, you're more than welcome to join us for that rosary that we're going to have there and pray together. Everything's going to be in Spanish, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. So please join us if you happen to be free for that. Thank you for the invitation as well to each of us. And did I forget anything else from this morning, Fabian? Okay, I'm good. Probably did. Tomorrow, that's what it is, the funerals that we have this week. I have a funeral basically every day this week. Somebody's passed away. I have a funeral tomorrow in Santa Rosa during the day, so I'll be gone taking care of that until I come back in the afternoon. I will be, that's for David Flores. We have Miss Esther Garnand is going to be buried in Milagro on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, we have a sister Catholic daughter who passed away, Lizzie Romero. Hers will be at 2 o'clock on Wednesday. And Friday, that 29-year-old Patrick Walsh, I will be doing his funeral mass in Albuquerque, who leaves behind his one-year-old child and his almost two years of married wife, which was there. Sadly, the day after the day before the funeral mass would have been their second anniversary. So please keep all those in prayer who've lost, particularly Tina Coronado, who passed from our parish, and we're yet to do her rites as well. Just pay attention to what it says within the gospel today. In the gospel, it speaks, the heaven was opened up, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven called out, saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It says in those opening lines that Mr. Segura proclaimed for us from this ambo, "Give comfort to my people, give comfort." And it's order to make you strong, which is what it means to say, give comfort. I invite you now to clear the distractions away, all those bad things that have been attacking your mind or whatever you came into here with, crowd that out, and to focus your mind for a moment. Think of your life. as it's been up to this point. If you're as young as Carla, you don't have to go back that far. If you're as mature as Miss Pauline, you've got a lot to look back on and give thanks. Think about your life. Go through the moments that you've had through there up to that point. Think about everything that you've done, everything that you've been a part of, everything that you've accomplished within your life. What are the greatest moments? What are the accomplishments, the milestones, those things that really stand out? What do you find to be of lasting value that you've been a part of in your life over the course of its span? Thank God for those things. Cherish them for a moment. Hold them in your mind for a moment. What are those high points? Those great joys that you have of being overcoming something, of moving through something, of doing something great. For some of you, maybe what's been going on is your greatest moment, maybe it's a master's degree that you've got. Maybe it's a doctorate that you've achieved. Maybe it's a professional licensure in some sort of war. Maybe it's the day that you were released from military service or got out of the guard, having accomplished all those great things that you've done. Maybe for some of you, it's that wedding day when you said you pledged your troth to one person for the rest of your life as long as you both shall live in holy matrimony. If you got kids, certainly they rank in there, right? Certainly they're there, the birth of each one of those children that have brought you both joy and sorrow and you give your life to, the joy of seeing them for the first time. Go through your life and see those moments. Now, as you put them there, rank them. Which ones were more important than others? Which one was the number one? Which one would you say that this is the greatest, the most important? Which one would you say that this would be the crowning achievement of my life? If there was only one thing that I could choose, it would definitely be this one. You got that thing? I've been asking myself a lot about this week because it's the beginning of the new year. It's looking back. You want to see, you want to rank what's gone on in your life and understand. If I were to ask myself the same question, here are my answers. Obviously, one of those great days is going to be the day I became a priest. That was 2,773 days ago, because I keep track of that. Every day, I thank for another one and add another notch on that calendar. Another one would be the thing I did the next day, celebrated my first Mass. In fact, I've celebrated 3,704 Masses, including this one right here, because I keep track of that too. Some of the other times that I had, what about that time when I got to meet Pope Benedict for the first time, to shake his hand individually, to kiss his ring, how amazing that was. Or to be, just a couple years later, ordained as a deacon, to be able to serve Mass for Pope Francis on the day when Pope St. John Paul II, my hero, was canonized as a saint. It's a big moment. Or what about that time when I got to hold my newborn nephew, just a couple days after his birth, when I finally deplaned, 30 minutes after I got off my plane coming back from Rome, meeting him at midnight and just holding him there and kissing him. I didn't want that moment to end. I think about the day that my mother, on her funeral day, when I celebrated that Mass. I think about that day when I celebrated the first Requiem Mass for the repose of her soul, which was actually 1 year ago on, 1 year ago Friday. Celebrate that Mass just in a bedroom, in our family home. Those are big moments. But all the moments of my life, each one that I could stack up against one another, none of those, if I were to choose them, not a single one of those would be the most important. All those are so minuscule compared with the greatest moment of my life, the greatest accomplishment that I've had, the crowning achievement. Because the most important milestone of my life happened, I don't even have to look at anything to know, it was on April 21st, 1984. That was the biggest day of my life. That was the day of my baptism. It was there in Our Lady of Fatima Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the hands of Monsignor Scipio Salas, of happy memory, where he brought me into salvation. Open up the gates of heaven so that I could have a possibility of being with God forever. All those things that you examine in your life, those high points, those significant milestones, those life-changing things that happened that you were just considering, and certainly they were big moments, definitely worth being on the highlight reel of your life. But none of them was more important, more significant, more life-changing than the day upon which you were baptized. There was a few years ago that I was that a friend of mine showed me an article. It was by his archbishop, Cardinal Archbishop Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York. He just celebrated his 10th anniversary of being the Archbishop there in New York, and so he wrote an article about it. He talked in that article in their local paper about what he did on that day. That's what he began with. The beginning of the day, he says, I went and visited with catechists of the Archdiocese, gave them the blessing. It was such a great thing to share my ministry with them. And then to go after that in the afternoon and the evening to spend that time with the retired priests of the archdiocese to share their joys and their sorrows, their difficulties and struggles throughout this older age as priests. Love that. And then after he talks about all those things, he gets to the meat of his article, and this is what he says. He says, quote, "As significant as that anniversary of my appointment here as your archbishop was, I also just celebrated last Saturday, February 26th, a far more profound event. That day was the 69th anniversary of my baptism at Immaculate Conception Church in Maplewood, Missouri." He continues on to say, "What happened to my little soul that day as Father John Ryan, the pastor of my parish, poured over me the saving waters of the sacrament, towers over everything else that has happened to me in my life since. Even my ordination to the priesthood, my consecration as a bishop, my appointment here as your archbishop, even above my nomination as a cardinal and throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium." Pay attention to what he has to say next. He said, And when I die, I will stand before Jesus, our just judge. And he will immediately notice about me. What he will immediately notice about me is not that I'm an American citizen or how much money I have left in my bank account. He won't notice how many academic degrees I have. He will not notice that I was a deacon or a priest or a monsignor or a bishop, an archbishop. He won't notice that I'm a cardinal. The important thing for him won't be that I was the one who celebrated Yogi Berra's funeral mass or that I once met the great Clint Eastwood. What he will immediately notice about me was that I was, quote, christened. And by that I mean that I was made like Christ in the sacrament of baptism. And he will smile at me. Smile at me because he has known me since so well, since February 26th, 1950. And he will certainly not call me Your Eminence, but he will call me rather by the name that I was given that day, Timothy Michael. That's the end of his article. Here it is, a prince of the church. Prince of the church, somebody who has probably more milestones than everybody else in this church that we have here. He's received every sort of level of official title that you can have within the church. The only way higher would be if he was named Pope himself, the Vicar of Christ. And when he looks back at his life, looking at all the milestones which he's accomplished in his life, he says the greatest day of his life is what? The day of his baptism. Something that happened to him even before he had individual consciousness of himself. See, the greatest Christians of the church, the greatest Christians of the world, they all recognize that their greatest day of their life was the day of their baptism. For example, King Louis of France. King Louis of France, he was the heir of Charlemagne the Great. He later became St. Louis. France, at that time, was the greatest power in the entire world, and he said to his sons, gathering them all together on his deathbed, his three sons, want to give him a last will and testament, this is what your life needs to be like if you're going to rule in my stead. Do these things, don't do those things. And in there, one sentence, he says it all. He says, quote, "I think much more, my sons, of the church in which I was baptized than I do of the cathedral where I was consecrated and crowned king." What is he saying there? He's saying that the dignity of a baptized child, no matter what state its life is going to be in, the dignity of that baptism of a child is greater than that of a king of an entire empire. Another one, Pope St. John Paul the Great, John Paul II. He was the first non-Italian pope born in centuries, elected in centuries, and the man who probably did more to destroy the work of wicked communism in the Eastern European world than anybody else did. When he went home for the first time to Poland in what the historians call the 9 days that changed the world, during that time, what did he most want to do when he went back home in 1979 to make his first visit to his native people? It wasn't to Krakow, which is the spiritual capital. It wasn't to the great cathedral that was there or down to where the Black Madonna is or anything like that. Where did he want to go? To his boyhood parish in Wadowice. There to kneel before the baptismal font. And in his own words, this is what he said. "I wanted to, above all, to give thanks to God for the gift of my baptism on January 20th, 1920. Greatest Christian heroes, the greatest milestones of their entire life to be singularly the day of their baptism. Now, why do I go into all of this today? It's because of the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord. Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. Today we commemorate when Jesus Christ asked John the Baptist, his cousin, at the Jordan River, "Give me your baptism." I must have your baptism. Now, our Lord didn't go there so that he could be purified of anything. He didn't have to repent of anything like it speaks about in the gospel. Why did he go there? Not to be purified, but rather to purify the waters. The author of life made those waters holy so that you and I might be made holy by doing just as he did. Not to receive the baptism of repentance that John the Baptist was given. That passed away. We receive the baptism of Jesus Christ that purifies our souls and changes our entire trajectory for eternity. The church doesn't invite us today to think about something that happened 2,000 years ago as a historical artifact. It says you and I need to think about the day of our baptism. What happened in our lives, and how do we deepen that? As a priest, I've baptized hundreds of kids, and I don't even have been a priest that long. And I love it. We're going to baptize a little one later, aren't we? We're going to baptize a child. And here, the baptisms that we have there, it's almost impossible not to be overjoyed at the day of a baptism. When you see a little baby, a little child, just like you see here every month within the calendar here, it's almost impossible in the presence of somebody like that not to be overjoyed for a great event. These happy moments for us are things that we priests look forward to counter the sadness that we have for the funerals, like I'm going to be celebrating all this week. Love baptism so much because each one of these child that I get to baptize actually becomes my child. So every time I look at Gabriel Angel, I go, that was mine. When I look at each one of these children who I baptize, I say, that's my child in that way. Deacon has five beautiful children that he's been able to see all throughout their lives and to participate in every moment of their lives. But as a priest, I got nothing except for those who spiritually are my children. Through the waters of baptism, that's a very special one. I birth them unto newness of life. So that's a special role within my life. I wanted to have at least 13 kids, as my aunt and uncle would tell you. But as a priest, I've birthed hundreds already, and still more to come, God willing, in my life. At baptisms, what I love to do is to look at the parents of the baptized on the day of the baptism, and I see within their face lots of joy. I see other things too. Not just joy. I see a whole lot of exhaustion, heavy bags underneath their eyes. Some of them haven't slept in 6 months. I look at their faces, and I see stress. Because the stress of all the family members that they're having to organize to make sure that everything comes out right from as they come from all over the country and even beyond sometimes. I look at their faces, I see a sense of tremendous concern. That everybody knows exactly what time, what place, what location, where is it going to be, and for how long, for the party afterwards. We're going to go to this restaurant, or we're going to go over to this house, and you got to make sure to turn at this fence and not the one that's beyond right there, and don't get lost in any sort of way. Missed a lot of baptismal parties and the like because I just couldn't find the place myself. But when we look at these families, and my concern for them is that in the midst of all this hullabaloo that's going on right there, do they understand really why it's important this day, what the gravity of this moment is for that little child? And for these parents, I give them a lot of credit because they brought the child for baptism. They're asking for something very necessary from the church. They went through all the classes. They found good godparents, which sometimes are tough to be able to find. So I commend the parents and the godparents for doing the right things right there. But in the midst of all the commotion, I wonder, do they understand the importance of the day? Because when that priest takes that shell and pours water 3 times over the child's head in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, it takes 5 seconds, by the way, for this to happen. And in that 5 seconds, what happens in the life of that child? The baby becomes a part of the greatest family in the entire universe. They become a part of God's family forever. They become a part of the Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church. Have you heard of that saying that says, blood is thicker than water? You heard people say, blood is thicker than water? Well, as Catholics, we don't believe that. As Catholics, we don't believe that at all. We believe that water is thicker than blood. Because what that water does right there, that consecrated water, as it poured over that child, what it does, the water of baptism, unites Catholics in a way that they're closer than any sort of biological relationships that they ever could have. My aunt and uncle, who were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, we blessed it yesterday after Mass, tell you the same. They say the reason why we don't see our Father Christopher in our family very much is because he's always with you. The reason is because water is thicker than blood. In reality, you're more my family even than my blood family is. You become a part of the family of the Catholic Church from the very day of your baptism onwards, and that never changes no matter what happens in your life. By the way, when we enter into the church, we have those holy water fonts that are there. Why is it that we reach out every time we come in, every time we come out, and bless ourselves with that holy water that's there, you know? That's right. It's to remind us of the day of our baptism. To remind us of the day of our baptism right there, because it is the water itself. We remind ourselves the waters of baptism is what allowed us to enter into the church. It's the waters of baptism that made this church our church. Because it's the waters of baptism that makes the Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church my home and your home, not just God's home. So when any time you come back into the church, after however long it's been, it doesn't matter. Welcome home. You're home again. This is your home. No matter whether it's in a foreign country or no matter whether it's a place that's totally foreign to you, it's always home when you walk into the Catholic Church. It's where you belong. That's why we anoint ourselves or pour that water over ourselves every time we come in, reminding us of that very fact that can never change. When this baptism happens, what else goes on? In baptism, the baby is claimed forever for Jesus Christ with a permanent mark upon the soul of that baby that can never be blotted out. It lasts forever. It can't be removed. By the way, what three sacraments do we have within the church that leave an indelible mark upon your soul that never can be blotted out? Do you know what they are? What are they? That's right, baptism, confirmation, and what else? Ordination. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I think there are two people here in the sanctuary who've got all three, not to brag. Those three sacraments mark your soul forever. In fact, as the sisters would teach us as we'd go talking to the kids, they'd say, when you get to heaven, you make it to heaven, you're going to be able to know which ones were baptized. You're going to be able to see which ones with your own eyes are confirmed. You're going to be able to tell which ones are ordained as deacons, priests, as bishops, just by looking at them, because they got a mark on them that can never be blotted out. But you're also going to be able to see, sadly, those who didn't receive those marks upon their soul that should have received them. Because the souls that receive them are infinitely more beautiful than otherwise they would have been. That's what God does within the sacraments that we receive within His church. Lastly, the last thing about baptism to say is that when water is poured over that child, what do they receive? An infusion within their soul of sanctifying grace. What's sanctifying grace? Sanctifying grace is that stuff that's necessary for you to be able to enter into heaven. It's what you need to be able to make it into heaven. If you were encountered somebody on the streets here in Fort Sumner, you're going to the Daily Grind or wherever else that you go for work or whatever, the feed store, if you were to go there and somebody said, hey, you're Catholic, what is it that you guys believe is necessary for you to get into heaven? Would you feel confident being able to answer that question when they spoke to you maybe at school between classes? What would you say? The common answer is that, well, Father, you just got to be a good person. Father, you got to make sure you do good deeds. Father, you got to pray. All those things are great answers. They're not enough. They're not enough because right there, what that does is when it puts the onus on me, it says, like, I got to earn my salvation in some sort of way, that I got to do something. If I get enough credits in there, then I'll be able to pass the test and make it in. But it's not about what you do. It's not about being a good human being that gets you into heaven. Heaven requires something more. If you were to ask all the Protestants down the street over there what they need to do, what would they say? They'd say, well, what you got to do is you got to believe. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you got to say a prayer, and then you're in. But that's not enough. What does it say within the scriptures otherwise? It says in the scriptures that the demons, they believe that Jesus is Lord. Now, are they going to make the cut? I don't think so. So it's not about belief. It's not about knowing that Jesus is Lord. It's not about having faith in that way by itself. It's not enough to get the distance. So if you can't get in by your good works alone, by doing good things, if believing in Jesus Christ isn't enough to make it to heaven, then how do we make it to heaven? One thing is necessary. What's that one thing? Confirmation students, it's on your exam. Die in a state of sanctifying grace. Die in a state of grace. That's it. It's all about that one particular moment. Dying in the state of grace, that's enough for you. Now, how do you get sanctifying grace into your soul? Where do you get it? That's right, I just told you. Baptism. Baptism gives you that infusion so that you can make it. Can you lose that sanctifying grace? How? That's right, mortal sin. And once you've lost it, can you ever give it back, or are you lost forever? No, that's right. You go to confession. That's it. And you can go as often and as often as you need it to renew that, to be restored to God's grace within your life, to be able to receive everything that's there. Because if you die in a state of grace, you're forever going to be in heaven. And that's a huge consolation. Die in the state of grace. And if you die outside of the state of grace, then you're going to be someplace else forever. These things are the things that we need to consider on the feast of the baptism of the Lord. What does baptism do for you and me? What has it done? It makes you part of the greatest family that ever was. It permanently marks your soul in such a way that you belong to God forever and can have confidence that you belong to nobody else. And it gives you everything it is that's necessary for you to make it to heaven. You just got to stay with it. Now, the final thing to help us deepen our experience of baptism, I'll give you two assignments today. Now, the assignments are between you and God, not between you and me. So you don't need to report back to me. Father, I assign the homework assignments, and God's the one who grades it. Two assignments that will really help you. The first one is this. Do you know the date of your baptism? Anybody know the date of their baptism?
The day you were born.
Not the day you were born, unless you were baptized on that day. Like Pope Benedict was. No, do you know the day of your baptism, personally? When was the day of your baptism? If you don't know what it is, it doesn't sound like anybody but Father knows. Look it up. Call Lucia and ask her. She's got the book here. She can go through it and tell you, this is your date. Discover it. Discover the date of your baptism right there. Why do you need to know it? Do you know the date of your kids' baptisms? Do you know the date of your weddings? You at least got that. Well, why is it important to know that? I didn't see very many of the men shake their heads, by the way, except for Paul. The date of your wedding is important. Why? So that you can celebrate it again. So you can give thanks to God for it again. So you can deepen it again. So you can make sure that you're living it out again. It's the same for your baptism. When we give you a candle at baptism, why do we give it to you? So the child can play with fire for a moment and then stuff that thing in a hermetically sealed box to stay there for the end of time? No. You're supposed to pull that candle out every single year. Light it. Even for a brief moment, give thanks to God. Ask Him for graces to live out your baptism again. Maybe make a renewal of your baptismal promises in that moment. And that candle is supposed to be lit as you're laying there upon your deathbed, your sickbed. And lit there so that you can be reminded of hope. That that light which was planted and burning bright there, that gave you the grace necessary to be able to make it to heaven, that He's still with you. And so you have every reason to hope of salvation. That's what that candle is for. To accompany you all the way to the end. From the beginning of your life in the font to the end of your life. At the hands of the priest. Know the day of your baptism. That's the first assignment. Second assignment is this. Thank your parents. Thank your parents. Some of us had really great parents, really amazing parents who helped us out all the way throughout our lives. Some of us had parents who struggled, had a lot of difficulties, who didn't get a whole lot of things right because they had a whole lot of things that they needed to work through. Whatever your experience of parentage is, if they brought you for baptism, they did one thing right in your life. They got one thing right. And as we just talked about this whole sermon, is that that's the most important thing in life. I got the most important thing right, so cut them some slack. Thank them. If your parents have already gone on to glory, to heaven, well, you can just thank them right now in this moment. Give thanks to them. They are still listening. If your parent is still among us in the living, give them a call today. Visit them if you can for a moment. Write them a letter. Thanking them for at least bringing you that far, bringing you into the faith. Want to take it a step further? Talk to your godparents. Thank them because it's actually them who said, I will give my faith to this one. If you want to go even a step beyond that, then find out who that priest was or that deacon was who gave you that newness of life there and say, thank you for doing that. This is the greatest moment of my life. Thank you for giving me that. Have a spirit of thankfulness for this. What does it say in the fourth commandment? Honor your father and mother. And it's the first commandment that has promise with it. That's saying, if you honor your father and mother, not because they're great, but if you honor them, then your life will go well for you. And it will be long and blessed upon this earth. Those are the words of God, not my words. You can take them to the bank. Be thankful for at least that one gift that they gave you in baptism. So today we went through baptism. And we give thanks to God for our Lord sanctifying those waters so that you and I could be identified with the very person of Christ, bringing us into His own family in the church, making that permanent mark upon our soul that we belong to nobody else but Him. And He gave us that grace, sanctifying, as the only thing you and I have to preserve to make it into heaven. So we all have a hope of eternal life, every one of us in the room. So two things, find out what that date is, to celebrate it more deeply this year and live it out. And secondly, be thankful. Find your mom and dad. Find your godparents, maybe even the priest or the deacon who baptized you. And just give thanks. Because what God began in you, there within that font, what He promised there to you within that font, He will carry it to the fullness of its completion in the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.